Welcome to Seize the GM, a show about how to seize the GM's seat and run with it. I'm your host, Zended.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm the other co-host, Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it? You want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it?
Well, we're here to help you do just that. Each week, the three of us are going to discuss various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back, relax, and let's hit that GM seat hard.
Click.
Right. We need to just start this.
Let's start. Let's kick this pig.
I recorded
that. All right, who's recording?
He's like, I recorded that. All right, so quick banter. Banter.
Zendad and I came back from Origins. I found out that not only is there con crud, which, thank goodness, due to the amazing power of tea, vitamin C, zinc, and soup, I have avoided, but there's also
and
the...
And hand sanitizer, right?
No.
No.
None.
Ah.
Nope. I have no idea why, but Steve and I, we didn't get sick. But, it made me sad that Zended, caught the con crud, but no one warned me there is con. It's like the con drop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No one warned me. I get home and we unpack the car. I'm bringing everything in. And Zippy, unfortunately, we almost missed the 6 o'clock deadline for dropping off the rental car.
Whoa.
He made it with two minutes to spare. But afterwards, he had to drive Peter and Gwen home. So, I'm sitting in the house, and it's this horrible feeling of, abject loneliness. But it's the, I'm not alone as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I've got people I love and people I care about. Excuse me. But... It was. No one warned you about that.
It's like stepping from another dimension.
Yes.
You've visited an alien world where everything is as it should be, as you're surrounded by tribe and people and synergy, and suddenly you're cast about in a world you know, but it's not the one that you connect it with as much.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It was, the con was, it was, holy cow, it was the most amazing thing ever. It's, certain people that I've done a little collaborative work with, Eric DeMage, and get this, he cosplayed amazingly well. And, I'm sitting there and I'm chatting with some of the guys that are going to be running the Shadowrun games, and I'm excited. And they're like, oh, I wrote, this vignette in the story. I'm like, oh my gosh, I like that. And they're, telling me about all these things they do and what their writing style is and what they like in other authors. And it's fascinating. And then a guy in a black suit, white shirt, black tie with an earpiece walks up and using my real name, my full real name, asks for me. He's like, can I speak to you for a moment, ma'am? I'm like, uh-oh. Sure. So I walk a little bit, and he's like, hi, yeah, I'm Eric DeMage. I'm like, oh, my God! He pulled the same thing on Opti, and Opti fell for it, too.
But that's hilarious.
It floored me, and it was so cool, and it was just like, yay! I'm like, my other thing was, how the heck did he recognize me? But I'll take it. And I get a big hug, and he's like, how have I been doing? How am I feeling? It's like, their family that I didn't know. It's
you
not
have.
Even that. Not even that. It's, there's this.
It's
this,
tribe.
Yeah. And I've only felt like that, when I've went to a couple of pagan festivals, Sirius Rising. But that's also a spiritual experience, and that's the mindset you're in. It's like me, I'm up here. I'm like, give me the dice. I want to hear the stories. And. I, oh my gosh, and like even with people, I, you don't, You know, it's just like, I got to meet Mr. Stackpole. I got to meet Mr. Timothy Zahn. I met all these phenomenal authors, you know, and I got them to sign my book. And, you know, I'm like, excuse me a minute. I do apologize. I never expected to meet, you know, the artist that I admire. And I put all my stuff down and I jump up and down, wave my arms, like flapping a little bit and squee. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I apologize for that. I had a fangirl out, and I do apologize for any embarrassment I caused you, and they start giggling.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and I'm, you know, buying books left and right, and they're like, hey, you know, like, well, here's my business card, you know, if I'm ever in town, please come by. And I'm like, well, actually, in that area, I know of a couple of good bars. They're like, oh, really? And just, you know, we're
chit-chatting. You said the magic words.
Well, we're chit-chatting, not
you offer drinks to writers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
Yes.
They live in that environment.
Yeah, but it was
it's strange because a lot of writers are very social. Like, they love that social interaction because a lot of times they're watching people all the time.
Trust me, there wasn't a writer on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, people watching is the best pastime because there's a whole tangent I could get onto. Okay.
Hey. You know what?
And this is just banter. We're just bantering.
And that's for a future episode. We'll bookmark that to address in future episodes.
Yep.
But it's weird because, you know, people that I just chat with on forums, people that, you know, I just saw are just, and you kind of put two and two together that, yeah, these are the people that help create some of the stuff that I absolutely adore. And, you know, Mr. Rigel, now I was helping pack up and I kind of winged my back a little bit. And he's like, oh my gosh, are you all right? You know, just, and it's really weird because you put all these people on pedestals and they're like, they're still on pedestals and taller than me, but wow, they're human. Shoot.
Yeah, no. Scary, isn't it?
Yeah. And that happened to me. Like, our first, like, official game, and I'm using official with bunny rabbit ears around it, you know, it was one of the missions games. I'm sitting there making notes on my character, pulling all this other stuff. Zippy's sitting next to me, and he looks across, and he's like, oh, dude, Neo Anarchist podcast t-shirt. And he's like, dude, you like that? He's like, oh, my God, I love that podcast. It's so awesome. And they two start chit-chatting, and I don't hear it. And then Zippy points down over my head, and I don't realize he's doing this. And he's mouthing the words, dude, that's Rainbow Smite. And I don't realize he's doing it. You know, and I'm just naked on my character. I'm playing a technomancer, going to have some fun. And the guy that's wearing that shirt is going to be playing a Decker. So we start chatting. And he's like, are you Rainbow Smite? I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? He's like, oh. Point to Steve. He's like, oh, he told me. I'm like, oh, okay. He's just like, I am such a fan. And I nearly died.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It was actually kind of humbling when we were actually getting ready to do that Father's Day show. Because, you know, Chad's like, okay, and this is Zendead who started all of this crap. It was just like, and everybody's just like, dude, it was like a standing ovation. It was really weird
because
I'm not used to that.
Oh, dude, you know, and Steve,
you know,
and it's like all the other dudes that were there, you know, I don't know if I wish I had my camera going and recording them all because some of them were like, you know, like pumping their fists. Some of them were like, you know, thumbs up. It was just like everyone lost their mind.
Yeah, it was really weird.
You know,
It's really bizarre because I didn't do it for that. I did it because I had things to say about Shadowrun at the time.
Right. No, we're not doing any of this for fame. We're not doing any of this for attention. We're doing it because we love this.
I do it for the camaraderie, not the it's like I want attention, but not in the, hey, look at me. I want the group camaraderie. Does that make sense?
Anytime I get an email from somebody who listens to the Hidden Grid, who's read something I read or something like that, it's not that the, oh, this person thinks I'm special that makes me happy. It's the fact that I know I have contributed to someone having a good experience. I have contributed to somebody being happy about something I did and I was entertaining, and, you know, that's cool. I have a lasting memory on somebody, and, you know, they'll share that story and other people will have good times too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
awesome getting the, you know, you're so awesome.
But it's
cool.
Weirder. It's weirder getting it in real life. Because then, you know, and I'm sure, you know, Opti said it was also a little weird for him, you know, with people fanboying and fangirling out. It's like, oh my God, I love it. And I'm like, dude, I did that to you. He's like, yeah, but you bought cookies. That kind of lessened it a little bit. I'm like, what? He's like, dude, you know, you bought cookies. This is, you know, it made it a little bit more interpersonal. And, you know, meeting Derek. But the thing is, like, Derek and I also chit-chat about, like, everything else. So it's just like, I kind of knew him more so as a person.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and
about...
just a podcaster.
Yeah. And like, same thing with you, Justin. It's just like, you know, you're not just playing games, but, you know, as you as a person and a writer and you know, things, you know, just like, hey, you know, I'm having power issues. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Anything we can do? You know, it's more, you know, it's like everyone else went from 2 to 3 dimensions.
Yeah.
And holy moly, it's unnerving. And it's, and especially in a convention that size, there were, it's like, it was huge. And there were people everywhere. And I felt, you know, like you're a freshman going to college for the first time and you're at a huge campus, or you're going up from like middle school to high school and it's a big freaking high school and you know, like, nobody.
Huh? See, that's, I actually don't know that experience because I have older brothers. So I've always had the lucky experience of finding a thread I can pull on.
And watching them screw up first, you're like, okay, I know not to do that.
Yeah,
not
right. Not right.
Yep.
Sorry, Lol.
But jeez. But it's, and I don't know if that's a universal thing for conventions, getting that everyone going from 2 dimensions to 3 dimensions. But the thing is, like, I guess my admiration and kind of like super fan view of everything, that didn't change. It's like the, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you did all this awesome stuff, and now I know that you, you know, like, you take care of puppies in your off time, and you hate grapes or something, you know? Pulling stuff out of my church there, but, like, it's...
No, that makes sense. That's... You appreciate the projects now, because now it's not so much the... This manifested from nowhere, from this name I don't know, and it's cool, to this person I think of as a cool person... also works hard to make this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it so much cooler.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But it was, you know, and then you meet like all these other people, and it's weird because usually you think when you go to conventions, it's just like, okay, I'm the noob, I'm gonna be picked on, you know, this and that and the other. Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
Not this crowd.
And here's the thing, it's like, you know, a lot of the, you know, at least being of the female persuasion, you know, when I walked into like the big dealer's hall, when I was walking with Zippy, I didn't have any problems at all.
Nope.
But when I went back, when I was walking back on my own, alone to hopefully, at that time, I was like, please don't let me embarrass myself in the front of the authors. Please don't let me open my mouth and burp or something. You know, I actually got a couple of catcalls and a couple of inappropriate comments. But that's only when I was alone. But when I was walking with anybody else from, like, the Catalyst crew or something like that, nobody messed with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it because it's like, you know... I look like fresh meat when I'm walking alone. You know, it's like, hey, newbie, let's...
No, people are stupid.
I know that.
And what... Okay.
I'm right outside DC.
We're actually getting into, like, conventions itself now. which is what the topic is. But
we've already crossed into main topic territory.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
That's good.
What you have is when you have this many people, you have a lot of people that don't understand social norms. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of behavior, like cat calls and everything else, they are very inappropriate because in gaming, women make up about 50%. They just don't always go to conventions.
Yeah, actually in the game room for Shadowrun, there were not a lot of women. There were
also
some.
The game.
Think so?
It's the game, yeah. Because if there had been a all of the storytelling games are predominantly women.
Which, like, what games are those?
Like Gumshoe.
Don't know that one.
Trying to think of some of the others. They're like more investigative, story-driven games. They're not, here's a bunch of dice, roll a bunch of dice.
Kind of.
No, those games are not, they're more about the plot and the longer arcing stories than they are about how much can I run in 4 hours. I have this thing that I have to get done in 4 hours, and there's nothing else that can be done in that 4 hours. But story games, you will find a lot more. Dread is another one where it's much more story driven. It's not as much about having dice and mechanics and really crunchy, heavy games. Because as a general rule, it has been my experience that women prefer something that's easier to deal with than trying to remember a crap load of rules in their head.
Now, the thing is, I don't, at least as a woman, and Gwen actually is the same way, a good buddy, we like, the thing is, like, with us, it's more genre, and if there's mechanics, we'll just make those notes on our sheet. I mean, we won't have all the, you know... We don't have every three, like Dungeons and Dragons 3.5 memorized, but you could be darn sure we know except for Gwen's first Shadowrun character, because she took the maximum amnesia flaw where you can't see your sheet. Oh. That was hilarious. That's an easy way for a new person to play. They don't have to look, and the DM knows it's a good thing. I recommend it for people that want to try something. But, you know, with us, we like if the mechanics of a game can push the story forward. You know, and when we were in the, playing certain convention games, if the DM could take something and still run a module and roll with the punches of what we did, I would shoot, you know, using like, you know, different puzzle solving tactics. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when they couldn't though, you know, that's the thing is like, I think it's a little less. It's more about the adaptability of the DM to be able to continue the story. Because when it all becomes down to just throwing dice, like, everybody gets frustrated.
No, that's not entirely the truth. I actually played with a group of 5 engineers and doctors. Okay, playing 3-5.
Holy
and
moly.
Do you want to talk about guys that could throw dice and that's what they wanted? They had the rule books memorized to a point where they could be like, that's in Player's Handbook 2, page 138, second column, about 2/3 of the way down. That's where the rule starts.
No.
I would hate to sleep at my table.
Zippy
exactly.
Does that from time to time, but that's to, you know, because it's like, oh, we've got, you know, if the DM's like, oh, I can't quite remember, da-da-da. But, you know, it's like, if you're going to do something like that, there's Hackmaster.
Oh, yes. And they loved that, too.
Yeah, some of it's like, but if certain things are, you know.
See, whereas there's a great game that White Wolf did. And
there's a bunch of them.
No,
which one?
No. This is one, technically it's a Black Dog game.
Oh.
But it's all story. The mechanics are there as just kind of a backdrop. And it's the most god-awful game in the entire universe, mechanics-wise. Because there are, as part of the mechanics to adjust your modifier, you use the word really.
Mm-hmm.
Really, 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 really far.
That's a George R. R. song about that.
But that's one of those things where, as you're doing it, it can mess with a game in a convention setting, because those are story based, not rules heavy. Right. And that's where it gets weird, because you want to have enough rules to make it interesting, uniform, but not too many.
And the thing is, like, how, especially if you're a noob, like I went with stuff that I knew. I really didn't stray from Shadowrun. And I'll be honest, I know 4th ed, not 5th. So that was a learning curve. But how, it's like, if you're at a convention and, like, you know, like at Origins, you have to spend a couple of shekels to reserve your spot. The thing is like, how can you tell, like, if it's something completely, if that thing's going to fit your style, even if you've read the book and you know the rules, but you can't really tell. It's, how are you going to be able to interpret that? And you don't want to waste your money.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons that I have such an issue with pay-to-play conventions.
Yeah, that's a weird concept to me.
But the thing is, for me, though, it's, you know, when I've gone to, well, like I said, Origins was my first convention, but I've been to all these other different types of festivals where it's a smallish amount, but it reserves your spot. It creates that, you know, you have kind of an obligation. It's like, you know, not like high school, but when you're going to college and you pay for your class, you're paying so that way you can go to it. It's that same kind of a thing. And what it also does is it allows somebody like if you don't know where everything is in the convention and you realize, oh crap, they're at the other side and you're running, you know, you might not be able to make it exactly on time and you might lose your spot.
Well, you know, I mean, there are still, you know, reserving seats. I mean, there are two, well, there's a local convention I go to on occasion, Necronomicon, and of course DragonCon itself in Atlanta, but with Necronomicon, there's no fee to reserve a spot. You basically put your name down, and that's it. Your spot is your spot.
Yeah, without having to pay for anything. Huh. Because, honestly, they don't pay any of these GMs to sit there for...
Oh, they don't?
No.
No, it's all volunteers.
They don't get any... Well, there's no compensation at all? I mean, like...
That's a company's choice to compensate people that are running for them.
Oh.
That's it. If Catalyst decided that they don't want to compensate GMs anymore, they just wipe it and say, we're not paying you guys for your badges or a room. You guys are on your own. They can do that. That's their choice.
Yeah, but wouldn't... I mean, I can understand, you know, volunteers, like, okay, it's like, from what they're running, you know, see, some type of comp.
If I decide that I want to run something at Origins and I want it to be in the catalog, I can send them a thing saying, this is what I'm going to run, this is how long it takes, boom. And...
Random? Like, so, even if it's not a... Like, say if you want, like, you have, like, an indie developer and they just want to, it's like, hey, I want to run, you know, I want to maybe a 2-hour block of time, and that's all you got to do?
Yeah. Hell, if I wanted to, I could have said, you know what, I want to run a Shadowrun game, but I don't want to run in the Shadowrun room. I'm going to run this adventure.
You have to pay for it?
Nope. But I'm also giving up my 4 hours to run an adventure that they're collecting money.
Oh, the con is?
And I don't get any of it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that the people that were presenting got a cut of that money that you spent to reserve your spot.
No.
Oh, crap.
Yes.
Oh.
Now you're seeing why my issue exists with pay to play at conventions.
Oh, I misunderstood it. And, you know, as you both told me that, you know, $50, $55 to go to a con is average.
Yeah.
I thought it would be like hundred, like in a general thumb, hundreds.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay, honey, there was a little gaming convention where I met Jason Harding from Catalyst, line developer for Shadowrun.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's actually very sweet, by the way.
He is. Mm. He is a very nice guy. And I got to sit down, play with him running a game, interview him at a convention of about 48 to 50 people. Okay. And it cost me $15 for the weekend.
How much?
To be fair, that's a difference.
$15.
$15.
To be fair, that's the difference between a local convention or smaller convention and like a Gen Con or Origins or Riot Con.
Right. Well, and this is dinky. Like, this show was literally dinky.
Right.
I mean, like, 50 people is like, they did it in the basement of a church.
Yeah.
Well, the next
example,
year they were
two. Is like $20 or so.
Yeah.
And like 200-300 people, 400 sometimes.
Yeah.
They like rent out 4 hotel suites and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they redid it, they did it the following year and they were pushing more for some more board game stuff
mm-hmm.
from Mayfair, because Mayfair is outside of Chicago. Well, they're out of Chicago. So they would show up. They would run like big events at this little bitty gaming convention. So they were like, well, we're getting kind of too big for this church, so let's move it to a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved it to a hotel and the price went from $15 for the weekend to $20.
That's not bad.
No.
That's backbreaking. Too much.
It doesn't cost anything because they're not in it to make money, because Mayfair pays a big chunk of what it costs for them to have the hotel. Because Mayfair is using one of the 3 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay a chunk of what the convention needs to bring in to pay for all 3 rooms. Mayfair pretty much pays for it in their fee
mm-hmm.
to present their stuff. And that's kind of how conventions make their money. The dealers and sponsors are who pay for the convention space that you're in, which is why it's always a good idea to go in there, even if it's just a little gaming convention, go in, look at what people are selling, and try to buy something. Even if it's just a new set of dice or two.
Mm-hmm. Or
because
like me, way too many frickin' books. All the books.
I didn't buy any books this Origins. I was so happy.
Well, I was only... The thing is, I wasn't planning on really buying any books. I was like, space, bring home. Yeah. And Howling Shadows.
There were a lot of Shadowrun books that I really want to get, but
I heard there was a Easter egg in Howling Shadows for someone on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It was... I flipped the book open, started reading it, and then I'm like, somebody can give me a paper towel, a tissue or something. I don't want to water stain my book, because I started crying. It was... Oh, God, it was funny, and people were looking at me like, it's like, are you all right? I'm like, I'm happy, but I don't know how to express this properly. And I don't know how, without sounding all, because I'm not egotistical, usually. I can play it, but as a person, I'm not. And it's just a major kick in the feels and super humbling to find someone did something that awesome for you. And I'm crying. And it was just, people were like, why are you crying?
Happy tears.
Yeah. You know, it's like, but there was, for me, it was just, I didn't know there was all this kind of like money mechanics going on at conventions. For me, it's like, I thought that.
It's big bucks.
I thought that, you know, it's like, you know, okay, so like, say say, like, Wizards of the Coast, they pay to, all right, we want to do a big booth and present and all this other cool stuff. And they pay a bunch of money to be shown in the convention. But I thought what happened when you would pay for this game is I thought, like, if it's $2 for an hour, I thought that was split between, you know, the D&D play, Wizards of the Coast and the Origins convention people put her on herself.
No. Wait. A lot of these big shows like these have full-time staff. And I'm not joking when I say a full-time staff. These are people that do 40 hours a week, every week, for 52 years, or 52 weeks out of the year. This is their job. They're a marketing agent for Origins or for Gen Con. This is what they do.
So they have to pay those people, too. So, like, Wizard of the Coast actually has a convention team?
No. Most of these are just people that work for the company. Just like Catalyst, that just has people that show up for the company to work the booth.
Oh.
It's just people that work there. No, what I'm talking about is Origins has a marketing agent that goes around, talks to local radio stations, talks to different magazines that are in the industry. Yes. And they have to pay this person to do this job because that's what they do for a living. Now, not all of them do it all the time. A lot of them, like the big ones, like Gen Con actually is a corporation.
Oh, kind of like Gamma is from Origins?
Yes. Okay. Gamma is the parent that owns Origins.
Gotcha.
And Gamma puts on Origins, so they use their staff to host Origins. And they have another trade show that they do in Vegas, the Gamma Trade Show. And literally the only people that are allowed to present stuff, like it's not a gaming convention, it's they go to Vegas, a bunch of people set stuff up, and then you have game store owners coming in, seeing what product is coming out in the next year and buying stuff. Or taking flyers. This is how I can get on in contact with you so that I can buy stuff for my store or for my whatever. That's how they do it.
It's the business side.
Yeah. Huh. And then they use revenue generated by that because Vegas is really cheap to set up for a show. So they use all that bonus money that they're pulling from that and funneling it back towards Origins to keep it all kind of flowing. And paying the people that are working full-time in the company paid. Mm. Oh yeah, this is big money. I mean, remember when we did if just unique instances of Origins attendance, if everybody spent $40, they made over $600,000 in just attendance. That didn't include anything that they made from dealers. That didn't include anything that they made from games.
So, wait, I thought dealers played a FET up front, and that was it.
Yeah, they do, but that wasn't calculated into that $600,000 that I gave you. That's just what they made from individuals purchasing badges at the convention.
So that's not including the tokens, the registrations.
Correct.
Oi.
Now you see how big this pot gets.
Wow. I don't know why. I guess it's because also, you know, with that whole, like, local game stores and all that other kind of stuff, like, you know, they their biggest thing is working hard to break even. So it's kind of, I guess, a little
daunting strange to see something making money.
Especially with games, because, you know, you always hear about,
you're not in the industry to make money. You're in the industry because you love it.
And I also hear, like, you're if you're not barely scraping by, you know, you're not a real game. It's the same thing also in video games, but.
Okay, you know what? When Ryan purchased. Ryan Ackles purchased Gen Con. The guy who was the developer, he was the biggest. He was one of the really big ups involved with White Wolf, mm-hmm. and then he morphed and purchased Magic.
Magic the Gathering.
Yes. And then when he had enough money that he could approach TSR and buy them outright.
Oh my gosh.
And then he took a bunch of that money that he had from all of these other things and then purchased Gen Con at one point. He sold it, but he started buying it. I believe. I may be wrong on that part, but I know he was involved at one point with Gen Con very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kind of disappeared because he had made so much money off of gamers that he didn't need to do anything anymore.
Oh, wow.
Now, he's a unique thing in this whole convention cycling of things because, like, do you know what Magic was originally created for?
No, I don't.
It was so people that were waiting in line at conventions could play a quick card game.
No way.
Yeah. That was how it was originally pitched.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, this is a brilliant idea. We need to make some cards. Ryan Ackles was on, I believe that was his name. No, not Ryan Ackles. Oh, God, that was somebody else. God, I cannot think of his name anymore. But, yeah, he was, like, very integral. Lisa Stevens, the CEO of Paizo. Mm-hmm. She was involved in all of this at the same time. Like, she knew everything that was going on. She was involved in all of it, too. And this is a woman that has lots of money because she's really good at business.
Mm-hmm.
She also happens to be a gamer who loves games. You know? And she takes care of the people that want to make them with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I got nothing but respect for that woman. Because she has turned what was essentially a magazine publishing company into the powerhouse that is Paizo. And all of this is because of conventions, because you had people coming from all these different places meeting together at these really big gaming conventions.
Mm-hmm.
See how I can tie it all back to conventions?
Well played.
But yeah. Conventions are a huge, huge thing. They're phenomenal. There's lots of fun to be had. And honestly, that's, if you go to a convention, don't go to a convention to make money unless you're dealing.
And
not that kind of dealing, phrasing. But as a dealer.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
Huckster, whatever you want to call them. That's what they're called, dealers.
Barkers.
Vendors. If you're any of those guys, vendors, any of these, if you're going there to do that, then do that and make lots of money. I wholly, wholly endorse it. But if you're a player going to play games at these things, have fun. Don't overbook yourself. Don't try to make every minute of every day have a game in it. Because then you won't see the things that are fun.
No, after spending the evening and early parts of a morning at Dante's, I actually missed two things that I had already registered for. I actually spent the money to go, and I was having a little bit of a hangover, and I missed them, and I felt terrible for that. You know?
Why would you feel terrible? Because you
spent money to make sure I could get a spot, and I really wanted to do it, but it's the other thing is, like, especially if you don't know what you're doing, is finding that balance.
Yeah.
And if, let's just put this, Zippy is a type B personality, very charming, a lot of charisma, but he's very laid back. You get somebody like me that's type A, which is I must control everything, or it led to a lot of stress, and I was miserable because I missed those things. And that was and it's not even I was horribly sick. It was just I don't think I could, I made the decision I can't mentally process what I'm going in there to learn. So I didn't go, but then I felt bad because, well, if I, you know, the regret of over-imbibing way too much, way too much. And granted, it was awesome, you know, hang with everybody, but, and I love the camaraderie and I love just hanging out with people and getting to know them. Well, but then I felt bad.
But in that regard, which would you have rather done in the end? Spend time with these people or go to the game?
The thing is, like, this wasn't even a game. This was a writer's workshop. You know? And I wanted to learn. The biggest one was writing in someone else's universe. It was given by Mr. Timothy Zahn. And everyone knows, like, he's the Star Wars, you know, really writes a lot of fic for that. And then when they said, okay, anything that's not, you know, the original trilogy, the prequel, or, you know, the latest stuff that's coming out, none of it's canon, none of it matters anymore. You know, and there's a lot of stuff like
or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all been retconned. So it's just like, all right, well, how do you deal with that? You know, as you know, also as other universes grow and change, and you know, I know Little Fears, which is always going to be near and dear to my heart. Certain things that were in the original release got changed in Nightmare Edition, but now they're coming back in a different form, and it's like, all right, how do you deal with that? I'm like, you know, for writing, and you know, you can always take that and apply it to, you know, creating your own modules and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I wanted to really learn that because I want to be not just, you know, learn it.
But next year.
I don't know if they'll have it next year.
Oh, they have lots of those things.
Yeah.
They
do?
For example, yeah. I mentioned Mr. Stackpole. Every
oh my
Dragon
gosh.
Con, he, charming man too. Every year at Dragon Con, he does his writer workshops.
Yeah.
He usually slums in the podcasting track afterwards, looking pretty tired and ready for the weekend to be done, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny. He thought my character's name because he's like, well, who do I make this out to? And I'm like, would you mind writing Rainbow Smite, please? And he's like, oh, that's adorable. And I'm like, my it's like Rainbow Smite's a specifically violent assassin wet worker. He's like, yeah, but the name is so cute. And just he's like, and knowing that she's, you know, pretty much a wet work, and you know, I'm doing kind of like the, you know, twisting my arms, kind of like twisting my foot on the ground. And he's like, and knowing that, you know, watching your reaction right now and knowing what you play, because some of the other people knew Rainbow Smite from Shadowrun Hong Kong, which is hilarious. But, you know, and they see, he's like, because you look so cute and adorable during right now. And it's like, and the fact that you play a psychotic murderer is just, oh, it's so cute. I'm like, I've never been called cute before, you know.
See.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, I think it'd be cool though, at least for, you know, also, you know, for noobs like me, it's like, I don't know the etiquette of meeting these people. That scared the hell out of me.
Be polite.
Okay.
You know, I was.
And, yeah. You know, don't be a nuisance.
Yeah.
That's really about it.
Yeah, my big thing is like, I said, okay, I'm going to follow the rule of Will Wheaton, which is don't be a dick.
There you go.
You know, and it's like, you know, I went to, you know, when I was leaving, I'm like, when I talked to Mr. Stackpole, I said, you know, I really thank you for writing a lot of the Star Wars books, because for me, that was one of the bonding things with my dad. And it's some of the few memories I still have that I remember very fondly. And my dad passed away almost in 1999. So, but we'd always talk Star Wars books. And he was sitting right next to Timothy Zahn, so I'm just looking like, oh my gosh, you guys gave me the bonding agent to talk to my dad. Yeah. How the hell do I say thank you without, you know, going over the top crazy? You know, and there's also the game etiquette, you know, when you're playing in games or you're doing pickups. And it's just the, because I didn't know it, I shut down and I was kind of quiet and just sat there.
See, here's a big trick.
They don't give you advice.
With meeting anyone famous, there's two things that I've learned. Because I've done, I'll tell you a story one time later, not on the recording. But treat them like a human being that you would want to be treated like. Okay, that's because they are nothing more than just a person. And if you want to know, like, don't reminisce with them about things that they've done. Ask them what they're currently working on that they're excited about. Mm-hmm. Because you will instantly go from, oh, this is a fan, to this is somebody that appreciates what I'm doing. And they mm-hmm. will sit there and talk to you about what they're going to be doing for hours if you will let them, because they're passionate about what they're working on now, not what they did 10 years ago or more.
Yeah. I mean, I did say thanks for doing that. The one I actually ended up, I chatted with I wish I could remember his name. My mind is blank. And I chatted with him for about 25, 30 minutes on, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so cool to meet you. And he's like, well, you know, he's like, well, I met George Takei at my first convention. I'm like, oh my gosh, what was that like? And he tells me this story. I'm like, oh, that must have been fun. And we're just popping stories back in front about just, you know, what that gave him. I'm like, oh, that must have been really cool. And then we got into video games, and it was just, you know, fun stuff like that. I always, what I wanted to do is the last thing I said to them is, you know, if it was something super amazing or super successful, is thank them, because, you know, that's something I take with me all the time. But that's like my parting thing.
Exactly.
You know, first it's like, oh my gosh, I love your work. Thank you so much. Would you mind signing it? And well, you know, Robert, and they'll mention something like,
sure.
You know, it was one guy mentioned, saw some of my tattoos. And he's like, well, didn't that hurt? I'm like, well, not too much. I can take the pain, but I want to wear art. You know, some people buy a painting. I get it tattooed. He's like, I never thought about it that way. Yeah. You know, we chit-chatted for about 20 minutes. I actually gave him the business card for the tattoo shop I go to. And he's like, ooh, neat. I'm like, yeah, here are the artists. They're nice people. And he's like, it's in D.C.? I'm like, oh, it's right outside D.C. Yeah. He's like, I might have to think about that. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But I was just hoping I was doing this. Like I said, there's, you know, there's like etiquette rules. And if you're not a gamer or something, like, you don't mess with someone else's dice. You know, that's certain kind of rules. But if you're not a gamer and you don't know it.
Well, yeah, but if you're not a gamer, you should understand not to mess with somebody else's property.
I know, right. I know. But I'm using that as an example.
That's the human element, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. And this is something that most conventions fail to think about, is most, especially gaming conventions. Yeah, I hate to say it, but most gamers are about as socially adept as a retarded monkey in a lot of cases.
You really shouldn't put down retarded monkeys like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they will do things like when you had said, you know, you were walking through the convention hall alone and people were giving you catcalls. That's the sort of thing that even a retarded monkey wouldn't do, because it's just not something that's in their purview. But you don't do that to people, because that's not how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
I mean, I had somebody one time, like a girl, say something to me when I was walking through. Because I mean, when I was at shows a lot, so I was just running back and forth to do something. She said something, and I turned around, and I'm like, do you want me to objectify you? And it was just like the tables turned on her, and she didn't know what the hell to do. It's like, yeah. Exactly. You don't want it done to you. Don't do it to somebody else. And I walked off.
Yeah, but it's, well, me, I guess I'm almost everything I do is slightly flirty, a little gregarious. And I was chatting with Mr. Johnson, who does the Arcology podcast, and I met his wife, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you are so adorable. You're just so He's like, you are so cute. You know, because she was playing around with her kids and, you know, and it was just, and she was teaching them how to play paint minis. And she was just like the, oh my gosh, she just, you know, like the, you know, kind of like sparkly, happy. And she just looked absolutely adorable. So you like paint. I'm like, oh my God, you're so cute. But yeah. I'm not trying to be like an ass about it. But it's, like I said, it's so strange because you're seeing, you know, people that actually have like, oh my gosh, you'd fit in Victorian England kind of manners. And then you got the guys that's just like, you know, they got the manners of trying to shove raw meat up their nose.
Yeah.
Nasal tartar.
Nasal tartar.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
I've started something else. Yeah.
That's conventions. There's great, and there's good, and there are bad experiences. You can have all of them, even at the same show. Mm-hmm. And if you have a chance, really, find a local convention. Even I, who live in the gaming wasteland of Tennessee, have two, like, one-day shows
mm-hmm.
every year. And they're a charity show. They have so many slots, and they say, okay, if you want to play, you can either give us $10, whatever it is, or you can bring in, like, 3 cans of food.
Critical
and then they donate everything. Well, they donate it all to a food shelter.
Wait. Mm-hmm. There was a convention that does that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where? What is it?
It's called Save Versus Hunger.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, like the Critical Glitch guys, they do that too. They have their kind of local convention thing, and all they ask is just bring canned foods, and they donate it.
Yeah.
Oh my. Why don't... Man, that would have been... Well, I know Origins this year, they did a big blood drive. And you got some cool stuff if you could donate.
Yeah, but no, they don't, as a general rule, it's one of those things that they just, you know, some places do it, some places don't. Knoxville actually has a really large homeless population.
Mm.
And it's because there are something like 6 shelters. So mm-hmm. other places in the state ship their homeless to Knoxville. Because we have the capacity to deal with them.
Ah.
So food shelters run low at certain times of the year, things like that. So they take all of that. I think last year the last one they did, I think they got something like 500 pounds of food. Because you only have to bring like 3 cans, but you can bring whatever you want. So if you had like 40 pounds of food that was just going to go bad if you didn't use it in the next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you could just bring it and donate 40 pounds and they're going to let you in. Whether you brought 40 pounds or 3 cans.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be...
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I was like... you know, I think that'd be really kind of cool if that kind of... Those kind of events or things for at conventions, you know, or if like, heck, you know, you bring in a couple cans of food, you get like a limited edition piece of swag.
Sure.
Something like that. And that would be so, that would be so cool, though. I mean,
human. It would mm-hmm. be so human to take care of other people as well as yourself.
And you get to have fun while doing it. I would, yeah. like, man, I didn't know all this stuff existed within conventions. How come it, I wish it was more common knowledge.
This is your first year. Now you can help spread the word.
Yeah. Hell, the guys that did this, they just set up like a Warhorn site for when they're going to do it. They posted all over the place on Facebook, like all of the local like Facebook groups and stuff like that mm-hmm. for gaming. And they just plaster it for like 2 or 3 weeks before the convention. And then they run it. And I think they run it out of like a game shop.
Really?
Yeah. It's small. I mean, they only have like 6 tables or something. That's like 25, 30 people per table. And if you have decent turnover, and not everybody's going to stay for the whole thing, you know, and they run 2 or 3 rounds a day, they do it for 2 days, that's 6 games per table, so they have to have like 40 games. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, like I said, for me going to Origins, the only reason I knew about it is because of Opti posting on the Neo Anarchist podcast that he's going to Origins. I didn't know what Origins was. Like, what is Origins? And I look it up. Oh, it's a big game convention. And then these, like, then there's Gen Con. I'm like, oh, that's a, it's like, all right, there's a lot out there. And, oy, it's kind of hard to sift through, like, you know, San Diego Comic Con versus Dragon Con versus Gen Con versus Awesome Con. And it's kind of hard to figure it all out, you know?
Well, you
have...
Is anyone
else, you know?
You have various types. So, you like, Dragon Con is a media convention.
Mm-hmm.
You have San Diego Comic Con. That's a comic book convention. It's what it predominantly is. They do way more than just comics, but that's what it is. It started as a comic book convention, a little comic book convention. Mm-hmm. Origins, Gen Con, both big gaming conventions. I don't even know what the other one that you...
Awesome Con?
Yeah, I've never even heard of that.
I mean, there's, like, well, Awesome Con is DC, same thing with KatsuCon and Otakon.
Those are anime conventions.
But Awesome Con, they had, it was kind of like a big mishmash of just all things geek. They had, like, Doctor Who, they had
That's
Marvel.
A media convention. That's what Gen Con, or Dragon Con is.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus you also have Raven Con near you, too.
What's that one? Never heard of it.
Richmond, Virginia, I believe. It's kind of like a smaller version of Dragon Con.
Yeah, I know that there's also Farpoint. One of my friends vends there. She actually vends all over the bloody place. But that one is, it's a sci-fi con, but it's not just... You know, it's not just sci-fi media. They have games and all this other stuff. So it's kind of the, when you're looking at them, certain ones like Origins and Gen Con, you can tell. But when you go to, like, looking at Dragon Con, it's kind of hard to distill exactly what it is just due to the crazy plethora of stuff.
It is what is referred to as a media convention.
Watch the PBS movie about it.
Yeah.
There's a movie about it?
It is the largest convention in the U.S.
That is fan-hosted.
What, Dragon Con is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fan-hosted.
Yeah.
Fan-focused.
I'm confused. Aren't they all kind of fan-focused?
No.
It's not about... Dragon Con isn't about selling the product so much and making major announcements. It's about the celebration of the movies, the TV shows, the games, you know, the science and whatnot. You rarely get make major announcements of things or, you know, shows or anything like that at Dragon Con. That's reserved for things like San Diego Comic Con, things like that.
Right.
You know, but you still get a huge fan presence. And if you ask the celebrities, they tend to prefer places like Dragon Con because it's a more relaxed atmosphere for them.
Yeah.
Versus what,
San Diego Comic Con, where they're like super work mode.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So one
Origins,
is
Origins technically is there's lots of business happens, but it's all after hours, and it's less so now because actually, like, Paizo used to go to Origins, Wizards of the Coast used to go to Origins. They both kind of stopped. They had rooms for their stuff. But they weren't they're selling stuff.
Oh,
that's not a convention that they go to make major releases at. They are there
they're there just
to support their society game.
Yeah.
That's all that they're there to do.
Then where would they make their announcements? Because the way you describe
Gen Con.
But I thought Gen Con was more player focused, you know, playing the games.
It is because you want as many bodies that are going to hear it at a convention, not people in the industry. You want players hearing these announcements, talking about it, drumming up the grassroots, making it into something big. Gen Con is where all the major releases for the year for gaming happen.
Oh.
Like, when they announced D&D 5th edition, it was at Gen Con. It was released the following Gen Con.
So they announced it the year before, kind of like what they do at E3 for video games?
Yes.
Oh.
Except it's literally like they're selling stuff right there. So they're announcing stuff, and then like Paizo has, they released three books throughout the year, three hardcovers for their game lines.
Mm-hmm.
And one gets released. They have their own convention that's just their thing. And it's a couple hundred people, and it's up in Seattle, but they release one of their hardcovers there for their fans. They release another one at Gen Con, and then they release another one in like November, December, like right around the Christmas season.
That makes sense because, you know.
They have them spaced throughout the year, and then every month they have their own normal release schedule for whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But those three, for them, are their really big things. Catalyst, their big time to release, Gen Con. Because you have so many bodies at Gen Con that you never see that much of your fans ever in one place, except for there. So that's where all of these products are released, because it's like, oh crap, we have to have something for this convention. Well, most game companies don't have the bandwidth to produce that much for every single show. They have the really big releases that are coming out. Like when 5th edition for Shadowrun came out, it was announced at Gen Con and it was released the following year.
Ah.
It's how the cycle runs.
Because the thing is, like, because I knew, like when 5th Ed Shadowrun came out, I didn't tie it to Gen Con. I tied it to the beginning of the school year.
Yeah, because Gen Con occurs in the middle of August.
Yeah. So, but I was thinking it was for more
schools. No.
Yeah.
No, it was because of Gen Con.
Oh, God, I sound even more derpy than normal, huh? Don't I?
No. If you don't know how the system works, you know, that's
like,
why.
You know, you buy RPG books and it's like, here's how we work on the back end in all of our business. Here's where you go to meet new people. They don't include that stuff, which is actually kind of weird that they don't talk about that stuff in those books. It actually might help them.
Yeah, it might.
That's another topic.
That's another topic entirely, but yeah, and I have a unique experience because I spent about 15 years working at the conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how they work. I know why they work the way they work. So I grew up, I mean, I remember the first convention I went to, I think I was 10.
Oh, wow.
My dad was a dealer at a little bitty convention in Indianapolis that was 30 minutes away from where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And he went with some of his paintings, and that was how my dad started. He went as an artist. He put stuff in an art show, and People looked at it. Nobody bought anything. And then he said, huh, they don't want to spend $100 or $200 on a painting, but they might spend $15 on a t-shirt.
It's figuring out how to market.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, and conventions.
Awkward right this second.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm wearing an older shirt right now.
Sorry, pumpkin.
Well, no, it's an older shirt. So.
I mean, and that's, you know, what my dad started doing. So, I mean, I've been involved in conventions for a lot of years.
That said, in regards to the people aren't willing to spend $100 for a painting, that is not necessarily true, sir, because...
Oh, no. They do.
I actually bought a lovely print that we now have hanging in our living room.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know who the artist is. I forgot.
I have more artwork than I have room. As a general rule, I try not to buy prints. I'm a firm believer in if I want something bad enough, I will pay for an original.
That's fair.
It's a lot of money. I have given many artists many, many dollars. I have an original from my father. I have two originals from my father that I paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, I didn't go, okay, so what's my cost for this? I said, how much do you want for it? And when he said, well, for you, I said, no. How much do you want for it? That was the question. And it floored my dad that I would actually pay him what he would ask for. But he spent a lot of time doing it. He deserves the compensation.
Mm-hmm.
I have given Tim Bradstreet money. Yeah.
No, it's like you've met...
Okay. I remember when Tim Bradstreet had graduated high school.
Wow.
I've known Tim for a very, very long time.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember when he was a freelancer for FASA doing first edition Shadowrun stuff.
No, it's just the artwork is just, I know it's all stunning.
Yeah. Yeah. We had my dad in my dad's house. There's a picture of he was doing an alien, just like the head. And he never bothered to finish it. And we bought it from him. And it still hangs in my dad's house.
Wow.
And it was pencil. This wasn't
really?
Pen and ink. This is pencil. Yeah. Like,
really?
It looks like it's alive on the page. It's terrifying.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I think it's like, and one thing I did love at, like, when I did go to the con, I don't mind purchasing, usually the prints, if they're not super expensive, I do like getting them. But
sure.
Usually when I get art or something like that, like I got some musical instruments and I actually pay to insure them. I do the same thing for like any other piece like that I'd get.
Makes sense.
But, yeah. My musical instruments, oh my God, they're worth more than I am. Holy moly. But the one things that I do like are the practical arts things. Like I got this year we actually got a mask. They were handcrafted, each one of them, and she was working on some of them when we were there. And, well, for Zippy, it almost fit, but not quite. She actually, you know, sat and customized it so it would, you know, like, oh, I have to move this X amount that so it would fit his face.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's so neat. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So, yeah, pay for it. And I'm like, I'm looking at the prices. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, you could charge a lot more than, and I'm thinking this to myself. And she was like, well, the thing is, I do have some ones that are quite pricey, but it's not fair if someone else, like, so there's ones that are less ornate, like less intricate and, you know, much more reasonably priced. You know, I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of, you know, a cool thing for artists to do. And she's like, well, and I'm like, well, what inspires it? She's like, oh, right now I'm on, it wasn't D&D. I can't remember what it was, but it was like some artwork from certain games. And they're like, ah, I'm on this kind of a kick right now. I'm like, ooh, neat.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. Oh, yeah. Justin, you, like I said, one of these days, next time we're all at a convention, I will totally bring them so you can see it. They're so gorgeous. They're dragon masks. They have like the, ooh, like a serpent dragon kind of wind around where the eyepieces are. It's amazing.
I'm in.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, it's, you know, and also for my first con, it's like certain things, I was surprised. I actually packed right for clothes. You know, I didn't overpack, didn't underpack. From what I understand, everyone always overpacks. I had the right, you know.
I take one extra day.
Yeah, I take That's one extra, I do one, I did one extra day and two extra pairs of underwear and two extra pairs of socks.
That's about what I do.
Yeah. And, you know, some people said, oh, I can't believe I packed so much clothes. I packed too much, I guess, food. And I didn't know if this was something, oh, well, shoot, I didn't eat enough. And I'm pretty sure I didn't. But it's like, you know, I brought a loaf of bread, peanut butter, jelly, some homemade chili. I bought, like, the, you know, things of ramen, protein bars, like the little instant oatmeal thingies, you know, I brought like all this stuff and I'm like, I'm taking most of this home. This is a mess.
Yeah.
It's like how on the ever it's, you know, certain things, like even if you're like, if you're a noob or even a veteran, it's just like, how do you know? It's like, there's no rules.
You never know
there's
exactly.
No, yeah. But there's never any suggestions on this either. And I looked.
Oh no, there are forums here and there. People suggest things. The Dragon Con stuff is, especially the Dragon Con Facebook group, is always full of suggestions on what to bring and things like that.
Yeah, really? Because the ones I saw for Origins were like, you know, shampoo, conditioner, make sure you shower every day, you know, get yourself the water bottle.
The 3-2-1 rule.
Yep.
Huh? 3 hours of sleep, 2 full meals, 1 shower. Do those things every day and you'll be fine.
Minimum. Those are the minimums.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that. Well,
I feel terrible.
There was one. There's a convention in Chicago called ASEN. And ASEN actually produced, 1 year they made, well, for lots and lots of years, they actually make a shirt called Got Soap.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they actually had in their store, they had soap on a rope that you could buy at the convention, because there are people that will go for 3 or 4 days without bathing.
So gross.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, with me, I went every.
Guys,
you were in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
Too. Yeah. Well, the Shadowrun group.
No
the Shadowrun
really
guys.
Bad. Uh-huh.
Nope. No, they don't, because those rooms are a lot tighter. The big, like, at Gen Con,
mm-hmm.
by, like, day 3, you can start to tell who hasn't been taking showers.
Yep.
Because they're literally, like, they start gaming.
Uh-huh.
And they game until, like, 3 or 4 in the morning and get back up at 7 and turn around and start up again.
Eh.
Yeah.
A lot of those people don't actually have hotel rooms.
Yeah.
They'll just hang
out
somewhere.
they'll crash like in a public area for 3 hours.
Oh my, eh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't shower every day. I went like, I showered Wednesday morning, then I showered Thursday night. I do a day and a half.
That's not.
That's still the same day. I mean, that's still 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay. I did. It's like, oh crap. You know, it's like, I didn't shower every morning.
Wednesday,
so it's like.
And Thursday. Mm? It's not necessarily that you have to do it like every single time you step out in the public.
Right.
But, you know, just as long as you have general cleanliness, you know?
Yeah.
Man, that's terrible. Oh my gosh. Mm. Why? Ugh. That's so. That's gross. Aren't people kind of, like, I'll be honest, certain people are lucky they don't have to shower every day. Certain people, you know, they don't get smelly, they don't get sweaty, they're okay. And, but it's, oh my, don't they feel gross?
Do you remember what we talked about before, about, you know, people lacking basic social norms?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those people.
Oh my, but wouldn't you think people would learn?
No, because people don't point it out to them.
They should, but people don't care. So.
That's, I guess it's kind of weird because, like I said, at Origins, it was just like this massive just wave of, like, you know, everyone caring about each other. And, hey, I want to, you know, it's like, yeah, I went to a Boffer LARP area and the, person that was kind of like teaching you and everything else like that, you know, you're like, oh, that's what this means. And they were really kind and they built you up, even if you were just learning and made mistakes. Anytime you nailed something, they were like high-fiving you, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see a lot of the you know, thumbs down. Oh my gosh, people actually do that thing that you guys have been mentioning. I didn't see that. I don't know if it was because I was just lucky. Or, like, at different events, there's different flavors of people.
Well,
you know?
And you also mentioned that, you're always, you know, generally traveling with people at all times, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but when you were alone, you kind of saw some of that behavior.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think if I could identify who actually was doing the cat calls and the inappropriate comments, I think something might have been a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Like, there's some, you know, it was like some, you know, there were some new games being demoed, and, you know, the best way to call them is barkers. You know, like, hey, try this out. You interested? I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm on a time limit. They're like, rats. It's like, well, we're going to be here from this time to this time. Here's the card. Hopefully, and they were very kind, and they weren't pushy.
Right.
They weren't like, you have to do this. I'm like, oh my gosh. They were all like, the kind of people you really wish were at like places like Best Buy and they didn't hound you. Like, everyone was like that. They're like, oh, I was like, oh, sorry, you don't have some time, but well, we'll be here from this to this. We're demoing around these times. Here's the card. If not, just check out our website. I'm like, you weren't pushy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that
is a good salesperson.
And I don't know if that's just like the flavor of what Origins is or maybe just the company, but I saw a lot of companies acting like that. But there were, I don't know if you get more of the, like, you know, pushy, trying to upsell you stuff, you know, that you would get used, like, way back at, like, Circuit City and shit. You know, is that...
It's a lot of these are not huge. Origins is growing now.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually very slow to grow in the beginning. So it's really strange, but they've been growing a lot in the last couple of years. So
any reason behind that specifically, or is it just
because they're pushing further away from Gen Con? So that's why it's going from being more about, they're trying to show that they're not just an industry gaming convention. They're an all-inclusive gaming convention.
What's the difference?
You didn't see Origins 5 years ago.
No, this is my first one.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. 5 years ago, Like, I walked up to the Catalyst booth when I had just started doing Hidden Grid, okay? Mm-hmm. And I talked to Lauren, the CEO, Brent Evans, the art director, and gave them my business card and said that I was going to be doing a Shadowrun podcast at Origins.
Uh-huh.
While that was all going on, they just started, like, talking to me for, like, about everything to do with Shadowrun. Because I was willing to do that there. And I wanted to interview them both. And, I mean, I've interviewed Brent twice and Echo twice. And both times my computer burned the audio up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's, yeah. I've had numerous interviews with Brent and Echo, and
holy
all
moly.
Of the audio died. It was corrupted. So I'm like, I don't ever ask them anymore because I've tried to do it so many times and it's never worked. And they're awesome people to talk to. Like Brent, you can talk to Brent about Battletech for days.
Mm-hmm.
He loves it. That's his favorite game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that is his favorite game, hands down, is Battletech.
Ah.
So, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, but it's, you know, and if Origins is going to get any bigger, do you think it might actually lose some of the, I don't want to say charm, but the atmosphere, and make turn it into something a little bit more rowdy, like, you know, Gen Con or Dragon Con?
Probably not. Honestly.
You don't think so?
I don't think Origins will ever get to that point. The city. Know.
Dragon Con was pretty small at one point.
Yes, but it took it getting into a position where it was at. Like, there were several key things that occurred that pushed it in that direction. And I know this because my dad actually started going to Dragon Con from the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And he wow. saw the things happening that were pushing it to that point. And then once it hit a certain point, it just started ballooning fast.
Boy. Mm-hmm.
Like, it went from just like a cool regional convention,
mm-hmm.
just a regional science fiction convention, into a media conglomerate convention.
It's a juggernaut.
In a course of only about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, because it was, it's like, what, I think taking 3 hotels? If I recall correctly,
that's the I think the official is 5 hotels.
Oh my
that
god!
There are convention the Sheraton, things happening.
The Westin, the Sheraton, the Westin, the Marriott, the Mark, the Hilton, the Hyatt, and a Marimart across the street. Both buildings.
Yeah,
because that's where they moved the vendor hall to.
Okay,
they needed more room.
Yeah, because they didn't have enough room to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dealer's room downstairs on, like, a Saturday was a fire hazard. The fire marshal was standing there counting the number in and out. They would lock the room up.
Yep.
Whoa.
Until people left.
Oh, yep. My gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So,
It's massive.
Oh, man.
And that's one of the 2 rooms that they had.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Just for the record, the official attendance last year at Dragon Con was 70,000. It is always higher than the official record.
Yeah.
What the?
Usually by 10, 20% higher.
Oh my gosh.
Because there's a business and people making fake badges and people just, you know, people watching.
Yeah.
Oh god, people actually do make the fake badge. Really?
Oh god, yeah. What a...
Yes, that really, it's a really good, good fakes too.
Oh yeah. My, ah!
But, I think we have talked enough about conventions. People, get out and go to them.
Definitely. Sorry for...
It's pretty long.
Yeah.
I apologize, well, gonna, I throttled.
We're going to do several things here. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to have some good closing remarks because I picked up at least one awesome game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay. Tell.
All right. It's the limited edition Garbage Day by Mayday Games. We played this at the hall. It was so fun. Basically, the idea is you have a plastic garbage can. And you have cards, and everybody has, you know, you have like what's in your room, and basically you have to pile around this on the lid of the garbage can, and you can't put them in. They have to be, and each card has two holes. You have to be able to see through the holes as you're laying cards on it.
Ooh.
Interesting.
We had it out. Like, the guy who was demoing it for my wife and I was like, I've never had one go out this far. It was probably 4 inches on either side. There were entire card lengths before we got it to fall.
That's fantastic.
It's hilarious and so much fun.
You're kidding.
No, it's amazing. It's a great game. And we bought the limited edition that they had at Origins, which had the two expansions already in it.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. There's the smelly and the gross expansions.
No. Okay, okay. Where, I mean, next fun. Time we're all together, oh, you got to bring that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Promise?
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
And then there was, we bought 3 games from Haba, which is a German company, and they specialize in kids' games. And we bought three games for my daughter. One of them is, because I have the all girls, it is Unicorn Glitter Luck, which is not what most people would call it when they start reading it.
You can't just leave us on it. Come on.
Unicorn Glitter Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh boy.
The first time we saw it, when we, my wife and I were telling some of our friends, we're like, it's Unicorn Glitter Fuck. I mean, luck.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh my goodness. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's hilarious. And it's ridiculous, but it's a counting game. It teaches kids how to count. And like one of the mechanics, so you roll a die and it's how many spaces you can move, but instead of lose a turn, you have eat a cupcake. So it teaches kids that losing a turn isn't a bad thing. You're doing something else.
Oh.
Yay,
and you're collecting. Yeah.
Send me the link for this, because I actually might want to get this for my sister for her 2 kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Haba. HABA is the name of the game company.
I gotta check that out because that sounds so awesome.
Yeah, there was another one like Animal Upon Animal. It's just like an animal stacking game that's little.
Yeah, and I saw that one. It had the little, yeah. They look like little wooden, like yep. The old fashioned, like, you know.
And they are. They're wood.
Yeah.
All the pieces are wood and
but they're
plastic.
Balanced so you can actually like play. It's kind of like reverse Jenga in a way.
Yeah, you're building it instead of tearing it down.
Yeah. I saw that. And there cute. Was. Oh, there were some kids, they were, like, laughing, and I saw them playing around with this game. It looked so cute.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds awesome.
And then there's another one that's, like, a counting game that we got, because I don't even know why. But we just were like, they're cheap, and, I mean, they're, like, I think the Unicorn Glitter Fuck game was, I think, $20.
Every time you say it.
Yeah.
I can't help but giggle horribly.
Yeah, but it was like $20, I think. And the Animal Upon Animal, I think, was like $15. Mm-hmm. I mean, so they're not expensive games. Yeah. They're relatively inexpensive. And yeah, I don't know how much the limited edition Garbage Day game was. But yeah, it's so fun. But yeah, so those are my shout outs. What do you guys got?
Justin, you go.
Okay. You guys well, more. If we can talk about you know, tabletop games and all that. This is actually something I played back in September of last year, that a friend of mine picked up at Dragon Con. The Village Crone.
Ooh!
It is this fun little tactical game where you play a witch who is trying to basically take over the small little town.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
The witch itself is never actually on the board, but your familiars go back and forth and gather resources so you can cast spells on villagers and the other witches.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's mm-hmm.
That sounds so neat.
It was a lot of fun. We ended up it was originally three of us, and about two turns in, we had two random people walk up to us, say, "Oh, that game looks cool. We were thinking about buying it." And Jack, the person who bought the game, basically said, "Oh, well, come sit down, join us in it." And so we ended up having this group of five witches basically brawling it out.
Nice. No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so cool.
Oh yeah, great game. Absolutely worth it. And I'm actually looking at it now, and apparently it's going for like about $30.
That ain't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So cool.
All right. What do you got?
Well, one, it's like I didn't have a lot of room, so I just made notes of what I'm going to be buying. But one at Cryptozoic Games, they're the ones that, they're this game's coming out, I think, next month. And I got to play it. It's called Rick and Morty's Mr. Meeseeks Box of Fun.
Mr. Meeseeks.
Yep. And it's oh my gosh, it's insane. It's this dice game, but it's kind of like Truth or Dare, but with Mr. Meeseeks. It kind of also had kind of like a Gimme the Brain. Every card did something, kind of a feel. Oh, and so, yeah, I will be picking that up. And they also had the Rick and Morty Total Rick All cooperative card game, and had like all the guys from Rick and Morty.
Nice.
So that was the one I wanted to get, but it was kind of the I'm gonna, you know, I have to wait. I don't have space in the car. And the other one I'm going to be picking up is also Shadowrun Crossfire, because it has a. I don't know if you guys have ever played, like, Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't played it.
No.
Well, next time we all get together, I will bring it. It's a lot of fun. But Crossfire takes kind of sort of that idea, not completely. But you're kind of playing it, and it's just like, okay, you have a mission. And then depending on what happens in, you have three turns, in each mission, it's like, okay, good or bad things happen, and the number of cards draw. So it's kind of like in Betrayal at the House on the Hill, getting items or hitting, like one of the, I think they call it oracles. I'm probably messing that up, but you know, that can start triggering the haunt, which switches how, Betrayal at the House on the Hill is played. It's kind of sort of that thing. So depending on what everything ends at, changes how the game goes. And the nice thing about it is, well, okay, there. If you complete the run and everybody gets out, everything's cool, okay, you win. They actually have a mechanic for not losing. Not winning, but you don't lose. Which is pretty much, is like, if everyone's going to die, if one of your dudes can survive a whole round and get out, you don't lose. You don't win, but you don't lose. And I'm like, I like that. It gives another way to play if, like, okay, we're all boned, to heck with it, we're out. But there's a way to, okay, if we're actually strategized well, we're not going to win, but we won't lose. And that's what happened to us when we were all playing. We made it so, all right, You know, so we'd use some good strategy just to make sure one person survived and got out.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we don't see a lot of games with that kind of mechanic. It's either win or lose. It's the black and white thing. This one, yeah. You're like, yeah.
I dig that.
I thought it was pretty sweet. That's me. So, I'm so getting out. Gosh, I'm going to be buying the Crone game because that looks so freaking awesome. A lot of my friends also like playing those kind of games, and I'm betting, you know, after dinner, you have dessert, have a little wine. I think in the trash talking also during it would be kind of silly.
Well, we were downstairs in the Hilton, so we had that little, like, kind of quick bar area and pizza that they made, so yeah, a little bit of trash talk.
Nice!
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, the one game they had, and I wish I had actually, you know, pulled the lever and actually bought it, is the Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards, the Duel at Mount Skullfire.
That's quite a title.
Oh, yeah. It took me a while, actually, to memorize it. But the artwork is really off the wall nuts. But, you know, you're a bunch of, like, battle wizards of awesomeness. And you all have, like, a type of spell, and you get to chain effects in a spell. And if you can make all the colors the same thing, you get, like, extra stuff. And it's over-the-wall goofball. And, you know, kind of like...
It sounds like playing Magicka, except as a tabletop game instead of a video game.
Kind of. And if you wanted to throw in, heavy metal from old animated thing from way back in the day, it has almost that kind of an undercurrent to it.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's... And the art's just really disturbing, but funny.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yes!
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we are... I think we're going to have to call this one a done deal, because we have been going for way too long.
Sorry about that, guys. Like I said, I'm at that one point where I have a little bit of knowledge, but not a lot of experience. So now I'm at that dangerous thing, you know?
It's fine.
It's never the black belts that are dangerous or the white belts. It's always the guys that are right in the middle.
Yeah.
See, going to conventions is like getting that first tattoo. If you love it, you're going to get more.
It's true.
Yeah, I speak from experience. Zendad, you saw all of them.
Yeah.
So, nothing inappropriate, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely. Yeah. So, hopefully sometime, maybe in the near future, we'll all actually be at a convention together. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, hopefully, we could actually, you know, play some games together. Maybe do, you know, maybe in the future, we do a live, you know, impressions of the con.
No.
Yeah.
In the future, someday... LARP Hidden Grid.
Oh my god.
You're kidding me.
I love it.
Oh my gosh, I am in the... Yes! Gimme. I want to do it. What, am I a little too overenthusiastic or what?
No, you're fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine. It's just, yeah, there's a lot to doing anything like that. And I don't know the first thing about it.
We're rent a warehouse.
Yeah.
Gosh,
and pay insurance premium.
Oh my god, and it would be too.
It wouldn't be as bad as you thought.
Yeah, we need a lot of Nerf guns.
No, we wouldn't need just... We'd need more than just Nerf guns. But, oh my gosh, I would... You know what, I'm actually going to start thinking about that. It might be... Hey, ding, future topic. You know, how do you create something?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That'll be so cool.
Besides, we need more cyberpunk cosplay. There's enough steampunk out there. We need more cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Well, I can help you guys with that one. So, hey, for future episode, for GMing LARPs in the future and stuff.
Yeah,
that's true. I definitely have some people we could touch base to see if they can hop on for those.
Heck yeah.
Oh, we will need to. Yeah, we are.
Hey, A LARP is how I started gaming in the first place.
All right. Well, yep. I'm thinking we're gonna put a bow on this thing and shove it out.
Yep.
So. Well, all right, guys.
A wonderful night to you all, gentlemen, and thanks for making my first con a totally awesome rock source experience, and letting me geek out a bit on it.
That's what we're here for.
Toodles.
All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Yep. You can contact us or the show using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Twitter accounts are, mine is at Zendead.
I'm at Jules Podcaster.
And you can find me at Null Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at SeizeTheGM. You can email me at Zendead@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at Jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
We're also on Facebook. Find us at http://www.facebook.com/seizethegm. So thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted material references herein are held by their respective owners. No infringement intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
Music for this show is from Magnatune.com. Links to the artists will be in the show notes. Once again, we will see you next week.